This year will be on the subject of tefillin. And you can find everything that I'm going to speak about in this shiur, as well as the next installment in the collected writings of Rosh Hashem Shmuel Hirsch, Volume 3, where that whole volume is dedicated to symbolism of mitzvos. You can find the entire piece between pages 140 through 149. In the first shiur on this, I'm going to only discuss the contents of the four parshos, the four scrolls that are in your tefillin, and the association relationship between them, the messages that are in there. And in the second shiur, we'll talk about the symbolism, about the way the tefillin is constructed, and other halachas related to the tefillin. But just first, a quick review as to where these parshos can be found and what are these halachas that we're going to later go into. The four parshas are referred to as Kadesh, V'hoya Kiviyacha, Shema, and V'hoya Im Shemoa. If you want to look it up, you can find it in Yechumash the following way. Kadesh is in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Gimel Psukim Aleph 3 Yud. V'hoya Kiviyacha is right there in the Chumash immediately following that, but yet written on a separate scroll for the Tefillin Shel Rosh. That's in Perek Yud Gimel, and Pasuk Yud Aleph, all the way through Tez Zayin, which is actually the end of Parshas Bo. Shema, which we say every day, that's in Parshas Vayeschanan, that's Perek Vav in Devarim, and that's Psukim Dalad through Yud, and Vahayim Shema, which we also say daily, that's in Parshas Ekev, that's in Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim Yud Gimel through Chaf Aleph. Here are some of the dinim of the Tefillin, which will be gotten into and discussed in more depth as the shiur goes on. Tefillin is to be written on a parchment, a klaf, inserted on cubed casings, made of, they themselves are made of klaf or thick hide, or it could be thin hide. They're bound by leather straps, they're bound to the body, by leather straps around the upper part of your left arm, towards the heart and above the forehead, by the shalrosh, just above the space that's between your eyes, parallel to that, or perpendicular to that. No psul is allowed on any part of this. If one psul arrives, the entire thing is psul, even one letter. All the parts, the cases, the klaf, the straps, must come from animals which are kosher animals. They don't have to be kosher, actually. If there's a problem with the shechita, that's a discussion. Hirsch mentions that. There's a half a page about that, but that's a side note. But the animals all have to be kosher animals. The Tefillin Shel Rosh, the way it's constructed, there are four paragraphs, four separate klafim, which are on four separate pieces of parchment, these paragraphs, inserted into four separate compartments in the Shel Rosh that are in a casing that is divided into four sections. But it's one casing divided into four compartments. The division of the Shel Rosh must be visible from the outside. So if you look carefully at the Tefillin Shel Rosh, you will see what looks like lines. It's actually the four casings that are compressed together, but you can see how they're separate. The Tefillin Shel Yad, all four of the same paragraphs, are on one klaf and put into a casing, we know the tefillin box, with just one compartment. The sequence of these parashiyos, the requirement to be perfectly square, the fact that there's a leather base that has to be there, referred to as the titura by Chazal, the loop that's part of the tefillin, where you put your straps through, which is called the mavarta, the letter shin on the shel rosh, actually we have two, one with three heads, one with four, the black color of the tefillin, straps on the outside are all ma'akev. They're all essential. Without that, your tefillin are pasul. When you put your tefillin on, the arm comes on first and then the head. And the removal of the tefillin is done the opposite order. First we take the shel rosh off first and then we take the shel yad, though the arm last. Originally, tefillin was worn all day and night. Not when you're sleeping, that's a different story, but originally, all day and at night as well. And lastly, tefillin is not worn on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So that's what the parashas are and some of the basic halachas which we're going to get into. So let's first discuss the first two parashas, Kaddish and V'hayi Kivyecha, towards the end of Parashas Bo. It's actually all of Shvi'i, these two parashas, all of Shvi'i. It's Perek Yud Gimel, it's the entirety of Perek Yud Gimel. The first 10 psukim appear as Kaddish, and Pasuk Yud Aleph till the end of the parasha is the second one, that's V'hayi Kivyecha. So let's read the first one. V'yidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Kaddish li kol b'char, peter kol rechem, firstborn, a very womb, b'nei Yisrael, among the b'nei Yisrael, ba'odam, among men, uva behima, and animals, lihu. Hashem says it is mine. Now, look closely. This is the only part of this that, as is quoted here, as is stated in the Torah, Hashem says to Moshe. Then the rest of the parasha, Moshe turns to the people. And he seemingly says something not at all related to that. The next nine psukim. Vayomer Moshe el ha'am. Moshe tells the people. Zacharis hayom hazeh. Remember this day. Asher yitzasem in Mitzrayim, that you left Egypt. Mibes avotem, from the house of slavery. Kibachozek yod otzi Hashem eschem, because of the strong hand, that Hashem take you out of this place. V'lo ye ochel chametz. Chametz may not be eaten. Hayom atem yotzim b'chodesh aviv. Today you are leaving in the month of the spring. V'hoya, and it shall be, ki yirvicha Hashem el eretz ha'knani, when Hashem delivers you and brings you to the lands of the Knani, v'achiti, amori, v'achizi, v'achivi, v'ayavusi, when he takes you into these lands that you're going to conquer, Hashem nishbala v'asecha l'seslach, that he swore to your fathers that he would give you, eretz zava aschalash u'devav, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You should serve the service in this month. What is this avodah? Shivas yamim tochal matzos. For 7 days you shall eat matzos. And on the seventh day, chag l'Hashem. It's a holiday to Hashem. Matzos yeochel eishivas yamim. You should eat matzos. Shall be eaten on for 7 days. Chametz and sa'or, yeast, or leavening ingredients, should not be seen in all your boundaries. That's the issue of owning chametz during Pesach. And you should tell your child on this day, Lemar saying, and this is quoted in the Haggadah, Bavur zeh, because of this, referring to the mitzvahs of the night, Asa Hashem li b'tzeisi m'tzeisi, that Hashem do for me when he took me out of Mitzrayim. All future generations should refer to the mitzvahs of that night as Hashem took me out, and these are my mitzvahs as a result of that. And then it concludes, v'hoya l'cha la'os al yadcha. It should be for you as a sign, as a symbol on your arm, or the zikaron bein einecha, and as a remembrance between your eyes, or the area above between your eyes, so that the Torah of Hashem will be in your mouth. That's what we learned, that it should be kosher, has to be edible. Because of the strong hand that Hashem take you out of Mitzrayim. V'shamarta, and you should guard this statute, in its proper time, miyamim yamima, every single year when this comes around, keep this mitzvah. Keep all these mitzvahs of matzah, and we got it to Levincha, the mitzvah of Haggadah, the Isra of having chametz. So, again, the parasha of Kaddish starts with Hashem telling Moshe about sanctifying the firstborn, whether it's animal or human. And then Moshe turns to the people, doesn't say a word about that. Instead, Moshe tells the people about the mitzvahs of Pesach. Seems a little strange. And then it continues. The next parasha, V'hoya ki v'yacha. So let's read on. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'hoyen shall be ki yivich Hashem el eretz haknani kasher nishpa l'chol avasecha u'nesan alach. It shall be when Hashem brings you to the land of the Canaanim that he promised to you and to your fathers, and he gives it to you. Ve'avarta kol peterechem la'Hashem, you should pass every firstborn of the womb to Hashem. Ve'chol peter sheger ve'hema, ashir lecha hazecharim la'Hashem. And another detail of that, the animals, that comes out of the animals, which is for you, the males, yalecha hazecharim la'Hashem. It should be for you. I'll get into the translation of this in more detail a different time. Ve'chol peter chamar tifteh, a different halacha when it comes to the donkeys. That's, so he's making a distinction between which kind of animals, donkeys, tifteh, say you should redeem that with a sheep. But if you don't do that, so you have your other choice, varafto, you should break it by the neck. And the firstborn of your men, then tifta, that you should redeem. You don't give that to Hashem, you don't slaughter an animal, you don't give a person away to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so now you see that Moshe has talked about what Hashem had told him about in the beginning of the previous paragraph that we consider a separate klaf. So obviously, says Rav Hirsch, that whatever Moshe talked about before was an introduction to what he's now saying in the second parsha. It starts with the mitzvah, Hashem telling Moshe about the mitzvah of Peterechem, of the firstborn, and all the details of that, which Moshe elaborates on later. But as an introduction to this mitzvah, Moshe talks about the month of spring, that it's the time that Hashem takes us out. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have these mitzvahs. You have a mitzvah of matzah, you have an isser of chametz, you have a mitzvah of haggadah. All of this is what Moshe says in the first paragraph as an introduction to the mitzvah of Peter Rechem. V'hayah, and it shall be. And now back to the continuation of the mitzvah of Peter Rechem, and it shall be. Ki yisholcha bincha machar, when in the future your son asks you, mazos, what is this? What's going on here? V'yamatelo, you should tell him, b'chosik yod atziyot Hashem in Mitzrayim b'beis avodim, Hashem took me out with a strong hand to the from the house of slavery. And you continue explaining, and it was, when Paro was stubborn and didn't send us out, so Hashem punished. Hashem killed all the firstborn in the land of Mitzrayim, all the way from humans to animals. Al kein, therefore, anizaveich Hashem, that's why I sacrificed Hashem, kol peterechem, that's why I'm giving to Hashem all the firstborns of the Hazacharim, v'chol b'chor, and after, that's why the animals get shechted as a matana, and every human, I redeem, because really, that too belongs to Hashem, because Hashem saved us from that happened to the mitzvah. And then it concludes again with the mitzvah of tefillin. This idea of v'hoyah la'os al yadcha, by the way, spelled with a hey, which is very atypical, it shall be as a sign or a symbol on your hand or your arm. Ulutotafos beinenecha, and this ornament between your eyes. Ki bechazik yod, that with a strong hand, hotzianu Hashem mimetzrayim, that Hashem take us out of Egypt. Okay. So, let's discuss more in detail. The v'hoyah ki aviecha is a continuation of what started before, as we said. First, Hashem tells Moshe the mitzvah of peterechem, and then this mitzvah, by the way, was stated to the Bnei Yisrael. All the mitzvahs that Moshe continues on. It's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Tzadi Vava Mebeis. During Pesach, while they were celebrating the Korban Pesach, they were eating it. And to bear in mind the Geulas Mitzrayim, the focus in Moshe's introductory paragraph, before getting into the details of Peterechem, of the redemption of the firstborn, or the carbon of the firstborn, was to talk about that it's in the springtime, and it's amplified when you talk about all the details of Mitzrayim, then you amplify that by a mitzvah of tefillin. Okay. The second paragraph is a continuation, like we said, of this mitzvah of Peterechem. And it's given also to perpetuate the memory of Geulas Mitzrayim. It concludes also with the mitzvah of tefillin. So Let's analyze the structure of both of these two paragraphs. Both parshas start with A, mitzvahs to be performed at a specific time or occasion, which in the first case was the time of Pesach. The second one is the birth of the firstborn. And then B, having the daily mitzvah of tefillin. So Kadesh, when you think about what Moshe is talking about in the first paragraph, focusing on Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's focused on the joyous. It says, Bavor zeh, Asa Hashem li betseisi mitzrayim. You're talking about the mitzvahs that we do that night, every night of the Haggadah, every year, and you say Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. You were focusing on the Geula, the redemption. Whereas the second paragraph focuses on the solemn, where Hashem judges the Bnei Mitzrayim. So the A first part by Moshe is Hashem delivers Bnei Yisrael. And the second paragraph, Hashem judges Mitzrayim, which says, Mibachar Adam, Vadbachar Behema. So the first part talks about where the springtime, new life awakens. And you are experiencing new life too, Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael. Right now, you're becoming a nation. So take note, look at the air around you. It's springtime. And you too should feel that newness of your existence as a nation. Remember the freedom that you were granted, and now therefore you should take that freedom and dedicate your life to Hashem. This is why we were freed. Bavor zeh. You look at the mitzvahs of the night, and you say, Bavor zeh, asa Hashem li, b'tzeis mitzrayim. This is why I was taken out, to do these mitzvahs. And bring that point home. Every day of your life, remember it with tefillin, which has all these ideas in them. And you put it by your head, by your arms, by your actions, by your thoughts, your emotions. And then also remember in the second paragraph, what happened to Mitzrayim when they became overconfident in themselves, when they believed it was all of themselves, they accomplished everything they had by themselves. All the gifts from Hashem they didn't recognize as coming from Hashem. They said, everything is mine. I don't have to owe anyone anything. But now Moshe is warning Klal Yisrael. When you receive Eretz Yisrael in the future, you should dedicate all those gifts back to Hashem. Don't forget where those gifts come from. It says, Hotzianu, Hashem took us out. In the second paragraph, Hashem took us out. Later generations are also granted that. In other words, 1,000 years later, when Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael and they're thriving and there's good agriculture and there's wealth, they should still be saying that sentence, Hotzianu, Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We would have nothing without Hashem. Don't let it get to your heads that you have all this wealth and you're so comfortable. That's what happened to the Mitzrayim. In the end, they were punished. Remember it daily. Bring this point home, again, by putting on tefillin. Now let's talk about the next two paragraphs, Shema and V'hoya Im Shamoa. So Shema, as we said, was the Parshas V'Eschanan. Perek Vav Sukkim Dal Trites. So Shema Yisrael. I'm going to read you Hirsch's understanding. There are many other Mefarshim, but we're going with Hirsch's approach to Kriya Shema now. Shema Yisrael. Listen, Israel. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Hirsch explains it as follows. And what we're going to do now is all is a continuation. By saying Shema, we're intensifying our knowledge of Hashem. And we're going to clarify our obligations towards Hashem. That's what's happening when we say this parsha of Shema. Again, this will intensify the people's knowledge of Hashem. And secondly, it will clarify the people's obligation towards Hashem. When we say Hashem is Elokeinu, that's our God, this God who's delivering us. But remember, he's Hashem. Hashem Elokeinu, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. The God who delivered us is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Haya Hove V'Yiyeh. He's the God of the universe, not just about us. He created everything. He's the master of everything. And he develops all of history. In Parshas Vayera, Hirsch talks about this more. They're in the act of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's when we get to see, we knew about it hypothetically, But here in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we got to understand that God guides history. Everything was leading up to this moment where the Jewish people were being formed, and through the Jewish people, the world will come to see how a God takes care of this nation, who observes his mitzvahs, and then ultimately the world will see this protection and this guidance and sometimes the harsh education we receive. And God moves history along through his educating ways. So Hashem, Yudke Vavke, the God of history, he's Elokeinu, but it's Hashem, is Echad, it's all one. That same one God is our personal God, is a universal God who cares about all of history and all of humanity, and everything that he created is all his. Everything, therefore, since he's the master of all, everything ultimately has to be dedicated and directed towards serving him. The Jewish people, who were personally guided and delivered, should dedicate themselves completely. And that's why the next pasuk says, V'yahavta. That's what this love really means. And that do it b'chol levavcha, with everything you've got. So again, V'yahavta, you should completely dedicate yourself, es Hashem Elokecha, to Hashem, b'chol levavcha, v'chol nafshecha, v'chol me'odecha. B'chol me'odecha, b'chol levavcha, we said, yourself, dedicate yourself. All of your possessions, be ready to give it up for Hashem. That's b'chol me'odecha. And be ready to sacrifice all of this, yourselves and your possessions. That's v'chol nafshecha, if that's what is needed and required. That's what it takes to get close to Hashem, b'chol nafshecha, then be ready to give it all up. And do this by holding the mitzvahs of Hashem close to your hearts. That's b'chol levavcha, deep inside yourself. So much so that you're going to pass it on to the next generation. So, v'hoyu ha'dvar me'ila, asher anochi mitzavecha hayom al levavecha. What I told you, keep it close to your heart. This should be very dear to you, this mission. And by passing this down, handing this down to your children, and by teaching them, and by being this model of this dedication before them, v'shinantam levanecha, teach your children, v'dibartabam, speak about these words, v'shivtecha v'veisecha, when you're at home, v'lechtecha v'derecha, as you're traveling, v'shachvecha, when you go to sleep, v'kunecha, when you wake up. Your children should see this is your passion in life. Model it for them, so that they too get inspired and they live that way. And then, u'kushartam liyosal yadecha v'yayulatotafos berenecha. Here's the mitzvah of tefillin. Tie these words, the words of this very paragraph, as a sign or a symbol on your arm, and it should be for this ornament between your eyes, or will be put on tefillin shal rosh. U'chusavtam, and write these words, al mezuzos beisecha u'vishorecha, on the doorposts of your homes and of your gates. So this is going to intensify our knowledge of Hashem and clarify in a more general sense what's expected of us. Of course, the whole Torah elaborates exactly what we have to do. But this is the kernel of what Yiddishkeit is asking of us. Basically, give everything you've got to Hashem. Be impassioned with it. Set an example for your children. And tie it. Tie these messages to your mind, to your heart, to your actions, to your emotions, and also to communal life, not just your personal body, but bisharecha, and the gates, representing you in relationship to the world outside you. We should be a whole community serving Hashem together. Now let's go to the next parasha, v'haya im shamoa, in parashas Ekev. And that's Perek Yud Aleph in the Bible. Yeah. We're not going to read every single word there, it's kind of long, but essentially, V'hayim Shamoa tells us that their fate depends on the fulfillment of their obligations to Hashem. That's what it says. If you listen, if you listen to my mitzvahs, Hashem Anachim Mitzvah Eschem, the mitzvahs to, and what was that we said before? La'avas Hashem Alakechem, U'la'odah B'chol Avavchem B'chol Nafshechem. To serve Hashem with all of your heart and all of your soul and all everything, give everything you've got. Notice it left out Ma'otchem, Hirsch mentions. And for the community, being rich, that's just a reward, but that's not the goal here. To be a thriving Jewish community is not about being rich. We get rewarded for that by Hashem. And as an individual, you may need to be supported to make it through the day. So to the individual, which is the main focus of the first paragraph, Shema, that's where Hashem talks about all of your possessions, and with your possessions, serve Hashem. But for the community, Modech is left out. But anyway, if you serve Hashem, then you're going to get it good. I'll make it rain, it goes on to say, and there'll be grass, and your animals will be able to eat all the grass and thrive. But if you don't, and you end up serving other gods, and then it's going to be bad. The produce won't yield any crops, it won't rain, it won't be good, and ultimately, you may have to leave the land. And then it says, V'samtem es devar ela al levavchem yal nafshechem. Take these words, put them onto your hearts and onto your souls. U'kushartem asom li'os al yadchem. Here again, it talks about tefillin. Tie them as a sign or a symbol on your arms and a totefos and these ornaments between your eyes. And again, teach your children this. V'limatetem asom es b'neichem. L'dabra b'am, to speak about them. V'shiftach v'v'secha u'v'lechtach v'derech v'shachbach u'v'kumecha. When you're in your home and you're walking on the way and you're going to sleep and you're waking up, be that model for your children so that they see what it means to you. That's how important these messages are. This should be your passion and your constant review. Out in public, you should tie it to yourself. In private, these messages should go in, and your behavior should be a model for your children to be inspired by. And also write them as scrolls on your home, on your homes and on your gates, same thing. So those two parashas where it says that, that's why we have what we call the mezuzah, because these are the two places where it talks about putting it on your homes and on your gates. The first two, it doesn't say that. L'man yirbu yibeichem, and do all this in order that your days, the days of your children, will be many. Al ha'adama asher nishba Hashem l'avoseichem, that Hashem promised your forefathers, l'seis lahem, to give to them. And how long will you last on this land? Kimei ha-shamayim al ha-aretz. For as long as heaven is above the earth, which is always, you'll stay on the land always if you just keep these words and take it seriously and be impassioned about this. So these are the basic themes that are in these two parashios. And just to discuss a little bit about the message, the passionate message. I'll read you the words of Rav Hirsch. You can find this in pages 148 and 149. The connection and the relationship between the four passages contained in the tefillin should be clear. Together, the passages beginning with Kadesh and V'hoya ki Yevi'acha show the constitution of the Jewish people on the basis of their redemption from Egypt, Geulas Mitzrayim. The passage beginning with Shema and V'hoya im Shemoa designates the Jewish people for the fulfillment of God's law, the keeping of the mitzvahs. The first two passages explain Israel's coming into existence. The latter two, its purpose, keeping Hashem's mitzvahs. The first two recall Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the latter two, Kabbalas HaTorah V'Hamitzvahs. And says Hirsch, Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, which is essentially what these two parts are the two facts which together form the concept of Israel and Judaism. Furthermore, Kadesh substantiates Israel's subordination to God, its Redeemer. Shema cites the purpose and content of this subordination. V'hoya ki Yevi'acha presents God to Israel as the master and judge. V'hayim Shemoah teaches the Jewish people about their own destiny under the rule of this master and judge. The parallels between the passage and the tefillin can be seen in the fact that while Kadesh and Shema refer primarily to the life of the individual, V'hayim ki Yevi'acha and V'hayim Shemoah address themselves to the life of the community and the state. In V'hayim ki Yevi'acha, the Egyptian state goes to ruin because it defied God. In V'hoya im Shemoa, the Jewish state is promised prosperity, provided it obeys God. If it defies God, the state will be destroyed. Finally, Hirsch adds, we don't really need to talk about the symbolism about binding the tefillin to our heads and to our arms, our hands, which is about our thoughts and our actions. This obviously symbolizes the subordination of hand and head to the ideas expressed in the tefillin. They bid us to pledge to imprint the messages of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Torah upon all our actions and our thoughts. All our thoughts and actions are to be founded on Yetzias Mitzrayim and to see their purpose in the Torah. So this is the end of the first part, which explained what's going on inside the tefillin. In the next shiur on tefillin, we'll talk about the symbolism of all the details, halachas of the tefillin themselves.